good to have you faithful ones here as we begin to worship the Lord and just to settle in on His presence. I just wanted to say I just appreciate.
Oh no, he stole the.
I think a couple of people, Paula and someone else. Who else helped out with the decorations? I just appreciate the beauty of what's going on. So I'm grateful. Father, we love you. We bless you. With gratitude, we come before you. In this season of joy, we just allow you to fill us up. And we enjoy the fact that you are good, that you've always been good, that your heart is so for us in so many good ways. We set our hearts and our minds to come into alignment with yours with great gratitude, with great joy. We love you. Amen. His blessings come. Look at verse 3 there, James, will you? He comes to make his blessings flow. Verse 3. Maybe verse 2. No, verse 3. Next one. He comes to make his blessings flow. You know, he has a purpose. His purpose is to make his blessings flow.
That's where it is. It's on this one.
Yeah. He comes to make his blessings flow. As far as the curse is found. Every place where there's junk, evil, ugly. Every place where there's something broken. Every place where there's something that amiss. He comes to make his blessings flow. You see, his purpose in the whole beginning was to make his blessings flow. Now, I want to just remind you, you get to be a piece of that. He comes to make his blessings flow. Guess what you do? You come to make his blessings flow. Wherever you are, you come to make his blessings flow. Why? Because he did it. And how far does that go? Wherever you see junk, wherever you see stupid, wherever you see harm, he comes and you come to make his blessings flow. Isn't that good news? That's the message of Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all. Blessings upon you as we enter this season. Amen.
Without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my
My soul will rest in your embrace. In the prayer, earlier prayer meeting, we're just enjoying the fact that we can follow him, which is good. We should do that. But his voice also comes from behind us, that he encompasses us all about. My soul will rest in your embrace. It's like he's all around us. From all around us, he keeps us. Especially, always, but especially when we walk out wherever it is that he's calling us to be that isn't very comfortable beyond the lines of our previous faith walk. Into his perfect plan, my soul will rest in your embrace.
Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. The one I see, knowing I will find. will follow you.
It's our whole heart, our whole desire to follow you, to stay right in pace with you, to live in the embrace that you have given to us. We choose to follow you. We choose to follow you. The goodness of God.
Surrender now. life you have been faithful.
Faithful God.
All my life you have been so, so
faithful, faithful, and good. Faithful, faithful, and good. You are. O come, all ye faithful.
Invitation was, "Oh, come, let us adore Him." And of course, we sing the song. We've sung it for some of us for nearly 100 years, some with fewer years. But it's a song we've sung ever since we were youngsters. So now I have a question for you. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but how do you go about adoring Him? I mean, if I adore Jesus, what do I do? Explain to me, give me some instruction about encourage one another to do. Oh, come, let us adore him. Okay, adore. Show me adore. Give me an adore. I don't mean that door. I mean adore. Show me, how do you adore him? Oh, Jerry Fry. Shelly, did you want to say something? How would you adore him? Do we have a mic? What happened to the mic?
Oh, we're done here.
I can be loud.
Oh, you can be loud. Do your kids know that?
Yeah. For me, it's just bringing myself and being honest with him in my heart and following him.
Okay, being honest, bringing yourself to him and being honest with him, and what was the last thing?
Following him.
Following him, okay. Anybody else want to adore him? All right. Paula, oh, we got all kinds of people who want to adore him. Was it you, Pat, that raised your hand?
That we love him.
And what's that look like?
That means following his word.
Uh-huh.
It means honoring him. Uh-huh. It also means love other people.
Oh, my.
Us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're his love.
Okay. Express his love. Okay, him and others.
If you love somebody, you will talk about him all the time, him and her, or her. You will just share.
All right, so there's an adoration that goes outward to others, for sure. Did you raise your hand? You forgot, it was so long ago, right?
Worship him with our lives and okay. Allow his love, allow him to live.
Okay. Worship him with our lives. Allow him to love through us. And
I love the spectrum.
Wide spectrum. Yes. Wide spectrum.
Keep thanking him and recognizing his goodness in our lives.
Well, that's for sure. His goodness in the past. Thanking him, honoring him for the goodness of his provision for us over time. Certainly would be adoring him for the goodness of his provision for us.
Looking at his character and thanking him for all the different characteristics that he has.
Okay, so you're acknowledging the wonderfulness of his, who he is, his nature, his character, his love, his mercy, all that he is, acknowledging him and being thankful for that.
Okay. I don't sing well, but I sing as low as I can because that's part of adoring him.
Yes, it is, to sing to him with what you have.
And I praise him and thank him every time I find something I've mislaid because I know that he put my eyes on it.
He helped you find it.
Yes, right? He did.
Boy, he takes care of you, doesn't he?
Yeah, often.
And the older you get, the more you find you need that.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyone else? Dave, back there.
When I think about adore, I think about somebody adoring a baby.
Uh-huh.
And so then I look at Grandma Osborne, and when her babies are with her, you can't get her attention because she is so focused on the baby. Mm-hmm. And so then how would I adore Jesus would be to make him my central focus and not be able to be distracted. I mean, you know, I say mom 10 times, she doesn't hear me. I say Betsy, still doesn't get through. But when I say grandma, sometimes that gets through. You know, when do we adore Jesus like that? You know, where nothing, a new car doesn't distract us from just being in awe of him. You know what I mean?
I just feel like, Dad, that this whole spectrum of what's been shared, all the way from giving him what is owed, Jerry's, you know, his holiness and his just worshiping him through cycles of hearing and seeing what he's saying, reflecting that. Cause that's something that we didn't say that clearly, but it's what we've said is that one way you adore someone is to be like them, okay? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. The reality is it's not flattery at all. It's a desire to be like him, and that is adoring him, all the way to being so focused on him, or being so focused on what he's calling you to do, or noting his nature and just not only worshiping him for his nature, but becoming like him in his nature because you adore him. All of that huge mix is all true adoration. That's truly adoring.
Yes, it is. Well, we're coming into the season when we focus on loving Jesus and adoring him. And so today is the first Sunday of Advent. So in honor of Jesus, we light the first candle, recognizing his coming and his great sacrifice as he came. I'd like to also do together a gather around the table for communion this morning. And however you feel to adore him, as we gather for communion, would you release your adoration to him? Let this time of receiving communion be a time of adoring him. Release your adoration to him in whatever way you can. So would you gather around the table this morning, and the Verdaus will serve us. Would you come and serve us here this morning? I'm going to ask Estella to give thanks for the Estella, would you give thanks and bless these members?
Lord God in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us here safely today. You and we lift our hearts to you as we see that you are the one that carries us through life, and this communion with you is what we will take and feel closer. Amen.
There's one other thing that that just really just strongly hit me in this little sequence here, Dad. Adoration. That phrase, was it the Moravians that said, to win for the Lamb the reward of his suffering? And there's a piece of adoration that is, you can't find anywhere else except there. That there's a piece of that, because that's who he is. That's who, that's what he did. That's his life given. I believe that this is a food pantry week. Is that correct? We got a food pantry coming up, so be in prayer there. And it's sort of a big month for us. So be in prayer for us in that regard. Also, Jill, let me know she wasn't going to be able to make it this morning. And but if some of you have brought things for her. Little mission to homeless and those in need. You can give the stuff to me, and I'll make sure it gets to her. You know, she does. Who knows? I know she changed it up a little bit this year.
It's mostly going to be like toiletry kind of things that they're searching for. So, like the smaller containers or anything where it will help people, like I always think of the hot things for people's hands, yeah, so they can stuff them in their gloves. Yeah, the hand warmers, that kind of stuff. But mostly it's toiletry kind of stuff. They go through a lot of that.
So things like that. One other quick announcement, and that is... today is a birthday. It's Bonnie's birthday today. Happy birthday, Bonnie. Let's just extend our hands toward Bonnie and release a blessing over her today and in this coming year. Father, with gratitude, we receive this, your daughter, as our sister, as a precious one, your precious one. We declare over her the fullness of your purposes. In this day, yes, but in this year, Lord, we just pray for a year of ascent, an ascending year where life moves into the directions of your blessing. You're the one that makes your blessings flow. So we release a flow of your blessings over Bonnie. Make your blessing flow. Wherever the curse is found, wherever any difficulties are found, you make your blessings flow. We just bless her. Release your grace, your Holy Spirit over her. Lord, cause her heart to continue to ascend in knowing you and hearing your voice every day, every moment, being awash in your spirit as she rests and as she's awake. I bless Bonnie, daughter of God. Precious one, treasure, in Jesus' name, amen.
You know, the scriptures...
Hang on a second, Papa. You know, we've been in touch.
I did hear from her this morning. We had early church service. You were late, so you missed it. But she called in and couldn't make it. They're home. I don't know what you folks know. They're home, and she called in for during the prayer time and said she couldn't come in because her husband, Skip, was a little bit fearful of the weather that's coming and wanted her to stay closer to home. And so we had a church service with her, and a couple of people prayed for her, and we blessed her, and she sent a blessing and love toward in our direction. So if you can't see her, she's here. And she sent her love and blessings toward us. That's Kathy Craig. Peter is in a wheelchair, and he's handling it all right, but that and he is not being a bad boy, but he forgets, and sometimes you know, he's supposed to keep his weight off of the foot, and that that's hard to remember, and so that's a little bit difficult. Dave?
Three days, on the 4th is George's 29th birthday. So Allie's 21 and George is 29-ish.
Figure that out.
So happy birthday to them. Amen. Lord, I want to pray for a blessing on both of them. Pray for Allie as she heads off into her 20s, that your presence will abound in her and that your life will flow through her and that you will bless her where she is and where she walks.
Amen.
And we also pray for George, that you will guide him and bless him and comfort him. Give him wisdom in his old age, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'd like us to just pause before we go forward. And George, don't sit down yet. I want to put you to work. A few moments ago, we prayed for Bonnie, and George instructed us to lift our hands toward Bonnie, and George laid his hands on Bonnie. And okay, that's a religious thing we do. It's a religious thing that they do in church, and it's just sort of doesn't mean anything. But I want you to recognize something, that George is a container of the grace and the blessing of God. Each of you are. There is something of the grace of, if you're a child of God, there's something of the grace of God that abides within you. Can you say amen to that? You have something. God has given you something. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You got something. Say, I got something.
I've got something.
I got something of God.
I've got something of God.
And so when there's these opportunities to lay hands on or to lift our hands toward to bless, there is a releasing. We understand it. There is a releasing of the something that God has given us in that direction. And so, once again this morning, I'd like us to bless Bonnie and do it with a little bit of oomph that we know. We know this is true. God has given me something, and I release something. Well, let me tell you something. If it's something from God, it'll be good. Whatever it is, I'm releasing something into Bonnie. And so, once again, let's lift our hands toward Bonnie, and we're just going to release something of God. We release something of God into Bonnie. This will be a new day, a something of God day into Bonnie, in Jesus' name. And all the people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So you done it. You did it. You say, well, I don't feel any different. It's not about feelings. It's releasing something of God into Bonnie. Aren't you glad you did it? I bet your Bonnie's glad she did it too. No, I think she said yes. I think that many of you have in your a piece of paper that has on it scripture. And I'd like us to read responsively the scripture. It contains the parable. And if you don't have one handy, you get more, Charlie? You give them all away? All right, Charlie, give them all away. You're out of luck. No, those are different ones. Noah, would you check and see if there's bulletins out there that have the little papers inside the bulletin? I'm after the little papers. Does anybody need a little paper from the bulletin? Charlie, did you get one? You did well. Okay. All right, we're going to read this responsively. The little paper inside it, is there anybody still needs a little paper? Like this, from inside the bulletin. All set? We've got it ready to go? Because, you know, if we're going to read responsibly, you don't have it. You can just have to do it out of memory, in case you don't remember. Okay, here's the parable. It's not usually called a parable, but I'm calling it a parable this morning. That makes it a parable. You ready? Here goes the parable. And we're going to read this responsibly. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it doesn't bear more fruit.
Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I just want to notice something. If you were to think of a vine, a grapevine that has a branch out, and out on the end of the branch, there's tiny little nubbins which are going to be fruit. And that branch is cut off. What happens to the tiny little nubbins? Do they grow into nice grapes or shrivel up and die? Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's a picture of the vine that produces something. The leaves fall off. The grapes never amount to anything. It all for nothing apart from the vine. That's the picture. Okay? Is it my turn or your turn? You're the black ones. Go ahead. You are. If. Go ahead. If anyone... If you abide in me, if. What does if mean?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. It also introduces the idea that maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe you will, and maybe you won't.
The conditional.
It's a conditional.
There's this condition or something, there's that condition or something else.
So, if... is saying to us, it's possible that you may, and it's possible you may not. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you.
My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit.
Do you suppose the Father has a desire involved in this? What's his desire? Yeah, make disciples. But that you'd be fruitful, that you'd produce fruit. He desires to see you produce fruit. God wants to see fruit produced by you. All right, that's the picture. It's a natural picture. It's vines and branches and grapes. Now we go to the spiritual application. I just want us to... All right, set aside the vine picture and see, what is he talking about? We're not talking about grapes anymore. We're talking about something else. What's the something else? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Okay, so the word abide went from the picture into the real, this is the real life. This is where it's happening. The abide in the picture was, don't cut off the branches from the vine. All right, so the picture here is abiding the way. There's abiding in the first picture. There's an abiding in the second picture. But we're not talking about abiding in a vine. We're talking about abiding in what?
Love.
Love. There is an application. It's to abide, but abide in something. It's to abide in love. Okay, the next one, we're back to you again. Here we go. All right, now that particular word, commandments, just by the way of information, it could be several things. Commandments is one. But one of the most intriguing translations of that, as a matter of fact, the first one that is used, is prescription. It's prescription. Now, have any of you ever had a prescription from a doctor? How many of you have had a prescription? Ever once, even once? Okay, most of you have had a prescription. What did you want above all else when you got the prescription
Did you want just any random prescription, or did you want a specific prescription? Any random doctor or a specific doctor? Any random drug or a specific drug? I'm asking you, if you've had a prescription, what is your hope?
Get better.
You get a cure from a specific doctor for a specific disease for a specific person. You! Isn't that true? And so I want you to see this thing here, that if you keep my prescriptions, there is a specific instruction that God has for you. Yes, there is general instruction. Don't go killing people and don't rob banks. Okay, that's pretty general. But there's some specific instructions that he has for specific people, his children, ways and places and means to love others. If you keep my specific prescriptions, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's specific instructions and abide in his love. You remember that Jesus talked about this? He said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father doing. I don't speak anything except what the Father has for me to say. I speak, the words that I speak are the Father's words. This very specific and directive things, and therefore abiding in the love of the Father. We go on to the next page. Tip it over to the other side. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now you get to read the same verse. Go ahead. I want you to see that there is a directive here. There is something that God is attempting to do, is to cause us to enter into joy, not just any joy, but full joy, abundant joy. And the process for that is for us to recognize that there are love instructions, there's loving and abiding in love, there's loving opportunities that produce joy. It's as we walk in love that joy becomes our portion. It is not just random things. I want you to be happy, go be happy. He wants us to walk in his love. And in that place of obedience, there is joy. I would like to note something here. Yes, go for it.
I'd just like to say that the purpose of a prescription is to get you back to the right spot, the right way for you to have always been. Mm-hmm. Now, there are people, quite a few of us probably, that are on a prescription ongoingly. But again, the purpose of that isn't, you know, random. It's to get us to where we ought to have been all along anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the whole idea behind a prescription. Yes. Be in my love, abide in my love, live in my love, continue in my love, because it gets you to where you ought to be, the regular life of just the right normal, not an abnormal, but a right normal. Mm-hmm. That's what a prescription does. And, you know, if you're on something for the rest of your life, which we are, abide in my love, it gets us to the right place, helps us to live in the right normal. You see what I mean?
Go ahead, sorry.
No, that's good. This is my prescription. This is my commandment. This is my prescription, that you love one another. He's talking about how to live. The prescription is that you love one another just as I have loved you. The way that I have manifested the love of the Father to you, manifest the love of the Father to one another. Now it's back to you again, Greater. Go ahead. Notice something here, and I could have mentioned it earlier, but there's a cost related to love. When Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, he wasn't saying, oh, well, you know, toss out a nickel here and there and be nice once in a while. when you talk about the way Jesus loved, it was a sacrificial love. And the sacrifice didn't begin at the cross, nor at the beating, nor even at the rejection of the scribes and Pharisees. The cost began before he ever left heaven. He laid aside his deity. He laid aside all that was his to take upon himself the form of man and became obedient ultimately unto death, even the death of the cross. And so there was a cost involved to show the love. But there's also an incredible reward involved, which is a life with him and the joy that that life produces. There's a joy involved. It's not all cost and sorrow and negativity. There is a joy that is abundant and full, something that isn't even available outside of a walk with him. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Go ahead. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I have brought to your attention repeatedly, to the point of frustration, ad nauseum, the need to love and the call to love. And you had some devotionals that related to love. I just wondered, does anybody want to comment about whether or not it's been useful to deal with the devotionals or pray the prayer that's related to the devotion? Anybody want to comment on that? I see all those hands in your laps. All right, Shelley. You're the only one, though. Nobody else had that problem.
I had to repent.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I could feel that it was not right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the person was somebody that I'm not even, have nothing to do with in my life, but it was a spiritual battle.
Sure, yeah.
The enemy didn't want me to pray. The enemy didn't want me to pray for him.
Yep.
And I did.
Atta girl. Yeah. Atta girl. So there is opportunity to grow up a little bit and become more like Jesus, more like the Father. Anyone else want to say something?
Well, it brought what's most important forefront to our minds, loving God and loving others and living in that place.
Yeah. It does call us to a place of love as he makes it central to his whole operation, the family. Anyone else? Well, one of the reasons I feel so like it's so important to deal with this subject is because in my own selfishness, I find that it has been very profitable for me to discover that in whole different ways, I have felt warmer toward people. I wasn't thinking that I don't love them or I do love them. I just all of a sudden felt warmer toward them. You understand what I'm saying? A notch in the right direction. It's not like I arrived, but I recognize that I've taken a baby step in the right direction. That's valuable. There has been also, in terms of prayer, back to Shelley's thing, a new burden to pray for some people that had just sort of dropped off the edges, and suddenly it becomes a reality, a new beginning of saying, this is important, here we go. Something that would be a call of the love of the Father for that person, desiring to accomplish something good through me, through prayer, for that person. Anybody else? Any change? In the prayer that we, those of you that were involved in this event, I just want to read the prayer again. It's not a special prayer, but it says some things. Lord, I receive your love. This begins with the Father. It begins with receiving something from the Father. And may I just say this? Remember a bit ago we were talking about laying hands on Bonnie? We take something of the Father to give it to Bonnie. That's what it's about. It's not some religious routine that we lift our hands or we lay hands on. We are children of God who contain something of God, and we've released this something to Bonnie. The whole picture of what it is to be a child of God is to be one who contains the love of God and is releasing the love of God vertically and horizontally. That's, if you want to name a specific, this is the mark of a Christian, you can't get far away from love. It's not about going to church. May I just say this? It's not about reading your Bible. Am I against reading your Bible? Of course not. But I tell you, they shall know that we are Christians by reading our Bible. I didn't say that. That's not biblical. That's a lie. They shall know that we are Christians that we go to church on Sunday. No, it doesn't say that. They shall know that we are Christians because we take communion. It doesn't say that. It says, they shall know that we are Christians but because we love one another. The specific thing that identifies us as a Christian is not about all the religious stuff. It has to do with taking the prescription and applying the prescription in our world, vertically, horizontally, carrying the prescription of God to our lives. Are you a Christian? They will know that we are Christians by the fact that we went to church on Sunday. That's hogwash. Ridiculous. And so I can't even apologize for talking to you about the specific thing that really marks us as a Christian. It's not about going to church. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not about doing cartwheels. It's not even about worship. It's about loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That is the definition of Christian. And you say, well, I didn't, we don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible because that's what the Bible teaches. All I'm doing is telling you what the Bible says. Either take it or leave it, but don't throw it aside. All right, we're going to read it. Here we go again. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see what I can do. Here we go. Lord, I receive your love. Help me to love people in my world the way you want me to. Show me the ones I have ignored or rejected or loved with a selfish love of my own making. Today, may I move by your Spirit in harmony with your great heart of love, and may your kingdom and your name be glorified as you love through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps if there were a disciples' prayer, that would be it. Lord, I receive your love. Help me to love those in my world the way that you love them. And may I say this? The prescription picture is critically important. We love individuals differently. And we're supposed to. Aren't you glad that God is willing to love you specifically related to you, personally related to you, in identifying what you need and what you need to hear specifically and personally? Aren't you glad that God does that? Aren't you glad that he doesn't just say, well, I love everybody, so just believe it, and now you're on your own? He doesn't. It's very personal, specific. There's a prescription of love that he gives to himself, and he gives to you. Now to the other small sheet. Thank you, Charlie, for passing it out. You're a good kid. I don't care what they say about you. Don't you agree with me? He's a good kid?
Amen.
Yeah, all right. All right, on the side of the box, with this box of red and box of black, we're going to start there. And it is this, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become anointed to gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, do not have love, it profits me nothing. Any one of these things without love is nothing. Prophecy. If I give a prophecy lacking love, profits me nothing. Waste of time. If I have faith so as to move mountains, I mean, I don't even know what the mountains would be, but whatever the mountain may be, whether it's a healing or a deliverance or a financial blessing, if I have this kind of faith, boom, I've got faith, and bam, mountains are moved in front of me. If I have that kind of faith, how many of you think that would be spectacular? I love that kind of faith. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun to lay hands on people, boom, and they get healed? You are absolutely right. Because you see, it's love that makes the difference. When the person that I love gets healed, wow! It's rejoicing. It's the joy of the Lord. God has so designed things that it is not the spectacular. It's the heartbeat of God being released into our world that makes a difference. God desires to manifest himself not in the spectacular, but in the touch of his love to the hearts of men and women that will turn them from time, stepping them into eternity. Love is the thing that makes a difference. And so this particular passage is, if you take each one of these individually, prophecy or the gift of knowledge or the gift of healing or the gift of miraculous, without love is zip. But what if you took the whole package, all of that, prophecy, knowledge, miraculous healings, faith, put it all together, but without love, what do you have?
Nothing.
Nothing. And that's the thing to remember. So often we bundle ourselves up with the desire to have what it takes. We want to be seen. Okay, now moving over to the red side. We're going to talk about the red side now. This is Jesus talking. When it goes to red, either somebody's mad or it's Jesus. Well, it's Jesus. And he's telling a parable. And the parable is that Jesus is picturing the day of judgment, and he's saying in the day of judgment the following. Then the king will say to them that are on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, drink. Stranger, welcome me. Naked, clothed me. Sick, you cared for me. In prison, you visited me. And the righteous will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, and so on, so on, and so on. And the answer is, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm trying to get you to see something here. Jesus said, you show your discipleship by ministering to the needs of people. If they need clothing, if they need money, if they need encouragement, if they need healing, the sick, you minister to them. And inasmuch as you do that, you've done it unto me. Jesus was saying, you do that, you're doing it for me. Now, the whole point of putting these two side by side is why? Do you see any reason for putting them side by side? There's room for them. On the paper. No. The reason is this. It appears that they're saying the different things. One says, you need to love. The other says, go do it. And if you did it, That's good enough. But the other one says you need to love in the doing of it. Do you follow that? There is a religious motivation and there is a heartbeat motivation. Do you see that? Obviously, we could find somebody to give a nickel to and say, okay, I saw him poor, I gave it to him. So don't forget, Jesus, I gave a nickel to the poor man. And all right, make it a $500 bill. Do they make $500 bills? I don't even know. $100 bill. I give him a $100 bill. Hey! It amounts to what?
Nothing.
Nothing unless it's accompanied or driven by love. That's the point of this whole thing. All right, flip the
I just want to mention something really quick. So, I was curious about Dad's, the word command, prescribe.
Uh-huh.
So I looked it up a little bit, and that notion that I was sharing just a few moments ago, that the prescription is intended to take you to the original purpose, okay? And in fact, if you look at the roots of the word, it means into or in, and the second part of the word means the end or the objective, the destination that we're supposed to get to, okay? So the word command, okay, this is my command, this is my prescription. It's to get you into where he's planned to get you. And I just saw as you were reading this, it says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, listen, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. In other words, there's this kingdom that I want to get you to. It was built for you. It was originally designed specifically for you. Here's my command, right? What was the command? Here's my command that gets you to that objective, that place. What's the command? That you love. Okay, so the love command is the thing that moves you to that originally the designed place, the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world, that designed place. He's intending to get you there. So it's no wonder when he says, come you who are blessed, for you out of a heart full of love fed me and clothed me, visited me, took care of me. You did these things. Come on, you did these things. That it was, yes, it was as unto me, but it was out of a heart that was fully made out of love. And the purpose of God is to infuse our lives, hearts, with his real love so that we be this thing because he's got an end objective for you and for me. I just thought that was very curious how that all connected in.
Just think about the kingdom of God. He's building this kingdom, a city, and what he wants to inhabit that city is a people who are bubbling over with love. He doesn't want to take Rochester with all its filth and darkness and plant it in the center of New Jerusalem. He wants to take the heartbeat of God, fill the hearts of people, and set it into his kingdom. Okay. Flip to the page, and we're on to back side of that page. And there are some things that relate to, that are important for us to read. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. It doesn't matter how you look to you, or even to your fellow man. God is looking at the heart. What is your motivation? Next one is Proverbs 24:12. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, I didn't know. For God understands all hearts. He sees you. He who guards you knows you, and he will repay all people as their actions deserve. Notices. He is the one who examines the motives of the heart. What motivated you? What's driving you? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. And, this is the occasion where Samuel is about to anoint the next king of Israel. And the old man brings forth his sons, and he one after another, finally, there's only one left, the guy out there taking care of the sheep. Anyways, the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel said, man, this is a good-looking guy. This ought to be it. This one ought to be it. And God said, no. Because the Lord does not look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord is looking at the heart. The Lord is looking at the heart. But I, the Lord, we're now in Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Notice he's looking at what motivated the action. Two people could do exactly the same thing. One gets a blessing and the other one says, I know what's going on. Don't bother. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then to each man's praise will come to him from God. God is looking at that. Okay, so there's opportunity for all of us. Let me just say this. Have you driven through Rochester and seen a man or a woman, somebody on the, beside the stoplight with a cardboard that says,
help?
Yeah, help. Homeless. Please help me. Yep. Even a quarter. I'll take your quarter. You've probably seen it. All right, there's a motivation here. You could do it because, you know, you just feel guilty. Probably guilty is the wrong motivation. What is the right motivation? The compassion, the love of God to reach out and touch this person. Perhaps it's the prescription. Are you with me? The prescription. Okay, so going on down, I just want to talk about motivation for a minute, and then we're going to talk about something else. We love because he first loved us. Have we received that reality? I think that we should be a people who constantly reflect on the goodness of God. We sang it this morning. God has been good to me. God has poured out his love upon me. I am so blessed. When we begin to recognize the love that God has poured out upon us, and we love, we begin then to love. We love because we went to church. Sometimes we ought to read our Bible. We love because we put money in the offering. We love because he first loved us. He has expressed his love toward us, and we have seen it and embraced it and known it. And because of that, we love others. That kind of love comes out of the heart of God into our hearts and out of our hearts into our world. We love because he first loved us. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we went to church. It doesn't say that. Because we do our devotions every morning. It doesn't say that. You know, it's amazing how often we read things that trump up some kind of behavior as this is a mark of a true Christian. Well, let's stick to the Bible. The Bible says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren.
And not even because it looks like we love or because we're pretty nice people. Pretty nice people, does that mean?
Yeah.
You're nice Christian people? Or is it real actual love?
Real actual love. Porto. The heartbeat of God. He who does not love abides in death. 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 Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? So when we did this devotional for the last 2 weeks, the prayer there is a desire or a calling of God to release into us his love. We need to receive his love. We need to be participatory with his love.
that it flows into us and out of him. Motivations also could be, and they're listed here, self-importance. We want to look good. Recognition. Want fame. Personal significance. Do you think it would make you feel personally more significant if you laid hands on somebody and they got healed? It would. It would make you feel pretty good. But what is the motivation? You know, I had that, well, twice went with Randy Clark into the, both times I went to Brazil. And later, another occasion, went to Africa, Kenya. But there were incredible miracles that happened there. And like I've never seen here in America. I mean, people get healed. Actually healed. And I lay hands on people and they get healed. And it was like, oh wow. But I want you to know something. I was absolutely, positively confident that this was a God doing. I mean, yeah, I said the prayer. And it was my hands that were there. But this was not me doing something. God was doing something. This is God doing something. An incredible awareness that this is God. And I'd like to see more of that. You want to know something? I happen to believe that God intends to have a people in the last days in which they are going to be able, because of the love flow of God in them, lay hands on the sick, they'll be recovering, and they will say, it's not me, it's God. God did this. The motivation will be purified in the sense that there will be absolutely no sense of this is my doing. This is not. Well, yes, I did it, but I didn't do it. There's a song that I shared with you in the email on Thanksgiving Day, and maybe George can give me the words of it. How can I give thanks?
So undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me.
So undeserved that you gave to prove your love for me. God is desiring to love us in ways that we have not known in order for us to say, this is mine because God loves me. God has so loved me that I have something that I cannot help but give to others. Would you take the mic to Paula? And Paula, I'd like you to share this, if you're willing to, this one thing about being driven to share. I just want to, before Paula comes, I'd just like you to hear this. There's a whole bunch of things that we might do things for. Man's approval, for the applause, for the guilt. How many of you have ever done something out of guilt? You did a good thing. Because I'd feel stupid if I didn't do it. I feel like a failure if I don't do it. Well, that's the wrong motivation. Maybe you ought to do it anyways, but you ought to say, God, I wish I were motivated by love, but here I go. I did the nice thing because I ought to do the nice thing because I ought to. So I did, but I know that you check out my motivations, and that was not as sweet as I would like it to be. Get real with God. Might as well.
Lots of times, we have mixed motives. It's two parts this, one part that. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I really do want to do it because I really do love. Well, and then there's also that other, what will they think if I don't, or whatever. Okay? All of that. And it can be.
Oh,
can be very partial.
What? She's talking about Christmas shopping.
There you go.
So why would you be shopping gifts for somebody? It must be because you love them. I'll have to get close to you so I don't lose my spot.
Sometimes it's because I know that I'm going to get something back, and that means I'm going to feel guilty if I haven't gotten something for them. Sometimes it's because I actually love them. Sometimes it's the pressure of what people will think if I haven't gotten them. I am. And it happens every Christmas. And I always think, Lord, how do I get there?
Yeah, for sure, that's the truth. We get messed up with our motives. And you want to know something? I want to tell you the good news. The good news is that God knows our hearts. And if it's one part love and the rest is all junk, he pulls the one part out and says, look at this. Jocelyn loves me and she's expressed one part of love toward whomever. Are you with me? He doesn't throw the whole package away. Aren't you glad you got a God that's big enough to sort it out? Well, I am. Yeah, Jerry is too. He sorts it out and he draws out the gold and the silver and the precious stones and the wood, hay, and stubble he brushes aside. That's the good news about our Father. He gives us the love. He looks for us to express that love. And let me just say this. Jocelyn's right. When she's thinking about the gift that she's about to give, there's a one part or some part love, and there's a some part, well, I ought to do this because if I don't do this, and so there's the some parts of other things. But the good news is that God, get this, God has planted some part of his love into us, and there is some part of love that is being expressed, even when it's a mixed bag. And that's the good news. He's still working to accomplish his good, great work in us. Now, I know this kind of puts you on the spot, Paula, and I'm sorry for that, but I want you to hear from Paula, because I believe what has happened to Paula in this regard is a good thing, and we could say, I want to go there too. Oh, by all means, turn it on.
Earlier this morning, we were in there praying, and Pastor George was talking about motivations, and I just happened to have this notebook in there for no reason. It was just in my hand. And I glanced down, and on there 2 days ago, I wrote down a scripture. This is always on my heart. I've always felt this is just like me, is the scripture, for the love of Christ compels us, is how I always say it.
The love of Christ compels us, pushes us, drives us. Go ahead.
And the King James Version actually says constraineth us, and I've known that, but I always choose the compels. But I, the other day I said, oh, I'm going to look that up, because I always think of constrain as means like holding you back, you know, so I'm like, how does that fit in there? But when I looked it up, it says constrain is to compel or force someone to follow a particular course of action, bring about something by compulsion. Then I looked up that word, an irresistible urge to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. And all of that just made so much sense to me, because I feel like that's where I live, like not thinking, oh, I should love that person, or God, can you help? Like, it's just there, and that's like where I live out of. And I didn't share this earlier, but Pastor, the Lord just reminded me of something. I've been visiting this gentleman down at the Canandaigua VA that's in stage 4 cancer, and was in the hospital, and I went there every day that week recently because he's alone. Then he was back at the VA. Well, now he's back in the hospital, and I went down last night, and he's in so much pain from bone cancer. And while I was there, he wasn't really barely conscious yesterday. His phone rang, and I went to just swipe it to close it off, because it was ringing. But I realized when I swiped it, that it answered it. So I picked it up. I said, hello. So I said, I'm in James's room. Well, to make a long story short, it was his 85-year-old cousin from Florida who he keeps in touch with, and she was calling to check on him, and she is a super strong believer. She went on and on about, I can't thank you so much, for being there for him, because I can't be there. And when he was 11, he accepted the Lord. But then all these years, he got involved in all these different addictions and everything. But he has recently recommitted his life to the Lord. So even in me, even in doing what God is putting on your heart, you don't even know. He has so many purposes in it. And I just was reminded of that. And just his love compels us in that.
That compulsion that we were just talking about, yesterday before she went, had some other issues, got the band going, had some other things. She was going, should I really go? Should I really go? Should I really go? So I was like, and she felt compelled to go. So I was like, go. Now I realize when she just said that, the whole reason she could have been there is for that when that 85-year-old cousin called, that she could answer the phone, that basically the 84-year-old cousin just realized she came in contact with her cousin who was dying of bone cancer.
Encouraging all the way to the toenails for the gal down in Florida. Because, you see, she can't do it. It's a she down there, right? Can't do it, but God has somebody who can do it and got him on spot.
Is she supposed to get more?
Say yeah?
Was she supposed to get more?
Yes, she shut down, but do you want to say something else? She doesn't want to say it.
No.
Compelled to do something you didn't want to do. Has that ever happened?
Or not, well, I wanted to. No, I don't really want, I mean, I always want to go visit him or spend time, you know, but other things were, you know, van problems, this getting in, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Lord made the way, so.
So here's a, do you want to say something, George?
Yeah, I just want to say, so the love of God compels, constrains, drives the love of God. For what purpose? To the end.
Yes.
That I could give you my kingdom. Okay, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's what, I mean, abide in my love, because my love is the thing that get you from where you are into the very purposes, the ends, the goals of God for you, his kingdom, for you.
Yeah.
And yes, for everyone else as well. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, that's part of his plan for you.
It's the actual events in the course of getting there are provided by, like steps on a ladder. And so you take the step and you're one step closer, you take another step. The events in life give us opportunities to take a step into the kingdom, every opportunity. Of course, you can cut out the rung in the ladder and not do it. I mean, you can do that, but you have this opportunity to take step after step into the kingdom. Go ahead, Jim.
Going along with that, it's what you said earlier. I mean, yes, my wife was compelled to do that, and God could have made her do it anyhow, just to answer that phone.
Yeah.
But how much more powerful is she didn't do it because she was compelled. Well, she was compelled. But she did it with love.
Yes.
Because she really did love the guy.
Sure.
God's love, she wants to share with the guy.
Yeah.
So it was just, it had to be done.
Yeah.
Because compulsion was there and done with love. There's no way you can get around it.
Yeah.
One way or another, it was going to happen.
And so God arranged for her to love the gal down in Florida she didn't even know about. This is not a part of the plan. Nothing to do with the plan, except that God had a plan. The old lady down in Florida needs some encouragement that things are under control. The Almighty God has in place somebody to take care of her cousin. And there is also a promise in that. Yes, the guy has messed up lately in his lifetime, more recent life, not so good, not so swift. But guess what? God's still on his case. God has not given up on him. The gal down in Florida needs to be encouraged. God has not given up on him. God is still at work in him. Be encouraged. I haven't dropped the ball. I've got Paula here. Paula who? Well, Paula Smith. Smith? Jones? Who cares? God has his hand on this. And we sometimes have no clue what we're doing. Paula doesn't know what she's doing half the time. Be encouraged. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. There is the ultimate thing here is the joy. That's the last verse that's on here. You want to say something else? Go.
You just said, the Paula who? That's the gist of it. When somebody walks in and say, I'm doing all this, the millionaire giving away $1 million. If he's doing it without love, he's doing it because no better than the guy with the sign saying, look at me, I need God's love.
Yeah.
I'm calling for attention, look at me. The millionaire is handing out $1 million saying, look at me, I need God's love.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this. I'm doing it for attention.
Yeah.
Now, if he does it with God's love, pretty much what happens
with God's love,
it's like somebody gave $1 million. Who cares? It was God's love.
Yeah.
Look at God. That's what we're after. It's like sort of like you're drawn along his, well, I'll use an analogy. I had the dog out, let her in with the leash still on. The cat was after the leash following the dog. And God spoke to me. He was like, the dog wasn't looking back at the cat. It was basically follow along with the love I've left behind. And God was saying, just follow my love trail and you will find me.
Mm-hmm. Well, God has something for each of us. And I want you to now go to the last verse in the box there. It's John chapter 15, I think it is, and verses 9 and 10 and 11. Here it is. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. I'd like you to, I'll give you another assignment this week. As you go through the week and there's some downsides, difficulties or something, say in the middle of the difficulty, yeah, but God loves me. God has set his love upon me. I am a loved child. I'm one of his favorites. In the middle of difficulty, acknowledge, abide in his love. Don't let the enemy say, yeah, but abide in his love. Acknowledge his love. Be assured of his love. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. I want you to think about Jesus in his walk on earth. Think about Jesus, who had everything that you could possibly hope for, laid it aside, came down, walked among men, and it was hell. They spit on him, they deserted him, they hated him. It says they hated him without a cause. No matter what he did, there was always 100 people who were down on it. Constantly being attacked, but he dwelt, he abided in the love of his Father. He was sure of his love of his Father. Likewise, he says, as I have also loved you, abide in that love. If you keep my prescriptions, oh my goodness, it actually got written that way. Because I chose to. If you keep my prescriptions, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's prescriptions and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The difficulties of life yield to joy when we abide in love. The difficulties of life yield to joy when we abide in his love. That's the invitation of the Father. The invitation is to love. And the result, when we do it, is joy. The invitation is to love as he has loved us. Abide in that love. Because the end result of that is joy. I want to say something about joy. Happiness relates to what happens. Joy relates to the Father. Joy is something that comes from the Father's heart into ours when we abide in love. Somebody say amen. Now, one thing about Paula is that she is about as screwed up as they can get. And she pursues and tries hard to be one who loves as the Father would have her love. I pick on her because I see my own weaknesses in that regard. And I see in her a strength that is real and valid. And I appreciate that reality. Now, you may remember that earlier in the service, quite by accident, and I say that facetiously, because there's accidents in God. But you remember we talked about what we have in us, we can release. And we talked about Bonnie's birthday, and we released to Bonnie. Now, I didn't see this coming, but it is now here. Paula has received and walked in a portion of love, which is available to all of us, but we could learn to walk better. How many of you could learn to walk better in love? And I'd like Paula to pray for us. You see, there's something that she has that I want to grab and pull out of her. But I want you to know that that won't leave her empty, because it'll just suck down more of God's love. And we don't end up with less, we end up with more. And so I'm going to ask Paula, I don't know what happened to the mic again. You got the mic, George? You got it. Oh, my goodness. It's right in the right spot at the right time. If you would pray for us, Paula. And you want to know what? Jim has the same problem. He has to put up with Paula and cover the base that she leaves uncovered while she goes and loves. And I want us to be daring enough to say, I want to receive more of the love of God. And you want to know what? I am absolutely confident God wants to give us more than we can handle, all that we can handle in preparing us for his kingdom. There is a walk in that direction, and we can learn to walk in it. So, Paula, go ahead.
Thing, sure. It's sort of a testimony how God loves us regardless of ourselves.
Yeah.
And this whole thing before she left, one of the reasons of being held up is I had to do some work on the van and put an EGR valve in. And sometimes I don't know if God plays with us just for the fun of it, which I think he does sometimes. Is in putting this part component in the vehicle, there's a blind bolt that has to be put in. I dropped it once. I said, golly gee gum whoppers. That's not what I said, but this is not good, because I'm figuring it's going to fall down where you'll never find it again. And I sort of said, well, out of luck, look down, it's on the ground. So I picked it back up, proceeded to try to put it in, dropped it again. I said, wow, golly gee gum whoppers again, this is fun. After I picked it up on the ground, by the way, I just said, thank you, God. Picked it up, went and put it back in, and I tell you, there's no way when this bolt drops, it should go to the ground. Dropped it again, it went to the ground again. Picked it back up. Three times I dropped that bolt. Each time it should have basically hung up in the engine. I probably should have had to tore half the engine apart to get at it. But it's a critical bolt. Each time it went to the ground. Third time, fourth time I did finally get it in. But it was God basically, even though I basically was not a happy camper, he still loved me enough to say, you know, here, I'll get the bolt back down where you can get it at with ease.
Yeah.
Of course, I wish he would have let me get the bolt in the first time, but still. He still persisted to love me, irregardless of how my attitude was, you know, working on it. And then eventually I realized, it's like, you know, I took a pause a second ago. You know, this shouldn't happen. He still watched me over my shoulder, like my dad, taking care of me.
He does take care of us. Aren't you glad that God puts up with our stupid and just draws us on?
Even the difficulties of life, even the dropping of the bolt, is his goodness, because it leads us to his goodness. You know, you see, I mean, it's his goodness that demonstrates his goodness.
This morning, I'm going to have, Paul, I really need you to pray for your pastor. But when we were singing, his goodness is running after me, I recognize so much how much goodness has been in front of me, in past tense. So much. I mean, all over the place, he takes care of me in 100,000 ways. And then this morning when we were singing, his goodness runs after me, I was thinking, I don't know about that. It just seems like I'm overwhelmed. And the truth is, the one who has been so faithful all the past is still faithful in the present, and his goodness is running after me. And so I declare that this morning, his goodness is running after me. His love is running after me. And so this morning, I just, when Paula prays, I just encourage you to open your hearts and say, Lord, give me a fresh flow of your love, power, and purpose, in Jesus' name.
And what I'd like to pray about, we actually had a discussion at our house this week. Something you said, Pastor George, in last week's service, is that you got a phone call about getting together with a guy you didn't know and encouraging him, and you're like, oh, I gotta, like that isn't the greatest thing you want to do, or makes you nervous, or whatever. And we talked about this home, because I said, boy, when I heard Pastor said that, I said, assign it to me. That's my thing. I recognize we all have different things we're strong in. We have things we struggle with. We all have different things. But I've always recognized the gift in me that you can put anyone in front of me, a stranger, anyone, and I can immediately have God's heart
go
for
it.
Them.
Yeah.
And I know that's a gift. It's a supernatural thing. So, Lord, that is, Lord, that is something from you. And, Lord, I just come to you and thank you for that gift.
Amen. We thank you, Lord.
Because it's wonderful to have your heart of love for others. And I pray for each one here, Lord, that you would give them a measure of that love, a measure
Amen.
Of your heart of love.
Amen.
God, for each and every person in their lives.
Amen.
That you would just fill them with your love and let it flow through them, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Going along that lines, you know, we were just talking about the guy holding out the sign,
mm-hmm.
and to be proud of my wife on this one, is the sign doesn't have to be held out if you have God's love. He'll naturally draw you to those that might need his love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a little example. We were at IGA, and as we were pulling in, there's this guy sitting on the curb, just sitting there. And he sort of looks like, you know, somebody would be almost homeless but not homeless type of thing. There's a few of them around Williamson. And I go into IGA to get the stuff we needed. While I'm in there, I go, I'm going to come out. I'm going to find my wife over by this guy, you know, talking to him. Sure enough, I come out. Not only is she talking to him, the guy's giving her a hug.
Oh, my.
Okay. Now, this guy doesn't look, he didn't have the sign saying, you know, feed me or whatever, I need attention. But God knew he needed his attention because it was his birthday that day.
Oh, my.
And before he had that, my wife basically said, here's something, go over to McDonald's, get yourself something. The guy was just like overjoyed. He didn't need anything, really. He just needed God's love. God
mm-hmm.
knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent one of his people.
Amen. I'd like us to dare to think that there's ways that God wants to express his love through you. And I'm not saying everybody be Paula. One Paula is enough, right, Jim? But God does want to express his love through you in a unique way that you can do it. There is an opportunity for you to love, and it's unique to you. I just want to challenge you. Paula has prayed for us that we would receive. We open our hearts to receive. Now, the expression of that will be unique to you. And there are people in your world that need a touch of the Father's love. There are. That doesn't mean just the guy with a sign. It could be your next door neighbor. It could be your uncle that you haven't seen for 3 years, and he's going to show up at a Christmas party. And a smile, and gee, I haven't seen you in a long time. It's good to see you. It could be the expression of love that would touch your uncle. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm really saying there are unique opportunities that are yours in this season that God wants to express his love through you to someone in your world. And I challenge you to dare to say, okay, God, I'm willing to be that channel of love to someone in my world this season, to several someone. I'm willing to do it.
Come, ye blessed of the Lord, inherit the kingdom destined for you from the beginning, from before the foundation of the world.
It isn't just you loving on the person. If God instructs you about the moving of the mountain, okay?
Moving of the mountain.
If he says,
oh, gotcha.
Move that mountain,
yep.
Right, and you do it with love,
mm-hmm.
you're not loving on a person. You're moving the mountain out of the way
mm-hmm.
so that somebody else can come forward and love on the person.
You never know.
You don't know that, yeah. But it's instruction to do something that you're good at. You know, something that you're skilled. That's something that he wants you to do. Something that he has given you qualification to do, and you do it. And you do it with love, with the understanding you'll never be recognized maybe on it. But you're opening the way for somebody else to come forward and love on
yeah.
that person.
Yeah.
That's just as well as that person loving on the person. You have loved on that person
you
by helping
the
other person do it.
You opened the door. The other person came through. Good enough. That was your job. Open the door.
And so, Father, here we are, and you see this motley group of people, and we got our hang-ups, and we got ways of looking at things and looking at people that are not necessarily the way you do. And we desire to be a people who carry your love into our world. We want to be useful in carrying our love into our world as you prepare us to inherit the kingdom of our Father. We recognize that you have, from even before we took our first breath, you had plans for how we were to move in our lives. You had a purpose. You had a destiny. We were predestined to all kinds of good things, kingdom things, eternal things, predestined. You had a destiny for us. And we today say we want to live in that destiny today, tomorrow, in the years to come, eternity. And so we open our hearts again and we desire for you to accomplish that which is our destiny. In Jesus' name, and all the people say, amen. Bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. It's already started. Today, let Jesus be seen in your world.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
You've got a chance. You can do it. And maybe next Sunday we'll give you another chance to talk about it. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be a topic that's more demanding, more important than this one. Bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.